We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Steven here coming to you for a solo video. This is something that Tyler and I are trying to do more of on our own throughout the off season. So be sure to subscribe and check him out. All of our solo videos will be posted first exclusively to our YouTube members and Patreon supporters. So if you are over there, this is kind of a thank you to you guys for supporting us in that way. If you're not over there, please go join it if you are able to. One of the other perks to join our YouTube membership or Patreon page is that you get access to our Discord page. So we'll have some off-season nuggets to share throughout the whole process, and then obviously have some great conversations over there with our Discord members. So please go check it out. All right, as the title says, I'm doing some cut candidates today. There were obviously a lot of popular names here. I think Over the Cap had a whole list of 100. Bleacher Report did a video of like the biggest three names that could be cut for each team. This is very niche to guys I am interested in for the Chargers at the right price. And specifically, I wanted to highlight three positions, which are into your offensive line, the tight end room, and then also the safety room. I think those are three key areas that the Chargers need to address as they head into the draft, free agency. And as a reminder, anybody who is cut from their previous team does not count against the comp pick formula. So the Chargers obviously took advantage of that with Eric Kendricks last year, and then they could be able to do that again this year. We know that Joe Ortiz loves his comp pick. So there are 9 candidates here that I have. There were others, you know, I made a whole list of potential options here. Like Mo Alie-Cox made it, but we talked about him as a trade deadline guy last year. I didn't feel like bringing it up. Some other options that like Bleacher Report listed, like CJ Mosley, although I don't know how likely that is, but if he is available, like 100% sign me up. So 9 names here, specifically in the interior offensive line, tight end, and safety room. If there's anybody else that you guys feel like adding, we can definitely have that discussion. Tyler's going to have a separate video discussing his kind of moves, I think, as well. I don't want to put that out there for Tyler, but I think we talked about that. Anyways, let's dive in here. Again, so notable cut candidates around the league, Chargers targets specific. Into your offensive line, I think we mentioned Mason Cole on the free agency episode, but I wanted to bring him up here as well. These are all guys that are directly tied to Harbaugh and or Ortiz. That was not intentional, but it worked out. So Mason Cole, I think, is the most likely to be cut here. The Steelers are $13 million in the red. And Mason Cole was, at least by the numbers, was a below average starter. For the Chargers, I think bringing him in would be more kind of a veteran presence deal. Maybe not necessarily the starter, but as probably a backup is where he's best suited to play at this point. In terms of pass blocking efficiency rating, he was 28th out of 33 qualified centers. Run blocking grade wise, he was definitely better. He was 21st in that regard. I've stated this before. I've had my issues with run blocking grades, but it is what it is. The Steelers saved $4.75 million in cutting him. He's the most obvious cut candidate that they have, at least in terms of like me when I look at that cap sheet. So I think he is available, and I think it just gives the Chargers an insurance policy. Bradley Bozeman is next. Again, not somebody that was like awesome for the Panthers. He was tied for 22nd out of 33 qualified centers in pass blocking efficiency. So a little bit better there. Definitely better as a run blocker than a pass protector in his career. That's weighed out, at least in terms of run blocking grade, across his whole career. The reason why I think Bozeman could make some sense is that he has played multiple positions. So he's played left guard, right guard, center. Mostly left guard, mostly center, but he does have some right guard flexibility in there too. So again, just kind of an insurance policy. Maybe he's not your starting center, but maybe he can push Jamari for a starting right guard. Maybe he's just your backup swing into your offensive lineman. Just has that kind of toughness, physicality, I think the Chargers like along their offensive line. And again, just that veteran mentality. The interesting one to me was Patrick McCary from the Baltimore Ravens currently. The pass blocking efficiency rating is not great, but the run blocking grade has always been outstanding. So he up until the last 2 years when Ronnie Stanley was having his injury issues, McCary was mostly an interior offensive lineman. In fact, he started his career for the Ravens as a center. And then he was the center when Bozeman was the left guard. And then McCary has played both guard positions and also left tackle and right tackle recently. So he's played all five spots. He's got a lot of snaps at every single spot. I think it's left guard. He has the fewest, but he's played all across the line. They use him as their sixth offensive lineman. They don't clear a ton of cap space. I thought I typed this in there, but they don't clear a ton of cap space in cutting him. But they do have, obviously, important decisions on Justin Madubuike, Patrick Queen. Like, the Ravens do have some significant cap decisions to make this year. I think the numbers for Patrick McCary is like they save like $5 million. But as we've discussed for the Chargers, when you have those important decisions, everything adds up. The other thing with getting back to Bradley Bozeman, that's more of an upgrade thing than a cap thing. They have plenty of cap space. They don't need to clear it. I think they only save like $2 million by cutting him. But I think with Bryce Young, you're probably trying to like really focus in on it. And then also the scheme fit with Dave Canales, who's more of an outside zone type of guy. Bradley Bozeman probably not suited for that kind of guard. So kind of a weird fit there. I think they could stand to upgrade into the more, outside zone type. Like, they're a team that I think in the early second round is somebody that should definitely be interested in Zach Frazier from West Virginia. I think he'd be perfect there, unfortunately for us. So three names there, all connected to the Ravens or Michigan, Mason Cole. That just kind of worked out that way, but three interesting pieces for sure. Defensive backs, specifically safeties, like I mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago, I think it was. Safety is definitely a position that I would like to see the Chargers address in free agency, whether that is bringing Alohi Gilman back, signing another free agent, or signing two free agents. I would just kind of rather have that peace of mind in that room before the draft. Not to say that the draft is a bad room, but it's just, I would just rather have the veteran presences covered there. So first here is Nick Scott. He was replaced, the Bengals signed him to a decent contract. He was replaced midseason by Jordan Battle, which isn't great. That to me was kind of a weird scheme fit. The Bengals played him much more heavily in the box than the Rams did previously. The Rams, it was a lot more free safety heavy. And I think that could fit with what the Chargers need, because the Chargers do need a free safety. That's kind of the theme here with these three names. So the Bengals only clear $2 million in cutting in. They don't necessarily need the cap space, but they're not going to play him like they have Daxon Hill, Jordan Battle, other guys ahead of him. Next one here is Kevin Byard. Weird fit in Philadelphia because of Matt Patricia. He did not record an interception this year, which I think was the first time in his career. This to me is just about the money. Like the Eagles saved $13 million by cutting him. I'm sure, you know, Alex could probably speak on this. Maybe they don't want to cut him. Maybe they kind of prefer to keep him around and play through the contract. They don't necessarily need to clear a ton of cap space, but Howie Roseman is going to save $13 million. Like, I'm probably going to open that door. So again, one of the best free safeties of the last few years. He's obviously been an all-pro, pro bowler. A lot of interceptions, ball production. That's something that somebody that I think would be perfect alongside Derwin James and Alohi Gilman potentially. Harrison Smith is an interesting one because he's definitely pivoted away from free safety, but he's played more in the box recently. He blitzed a ton this year with the Vikings and Brian Flores. I think he had like over 150 pass rush snaps. So it was kind of crazy. He had a lot, his most productive pass rushing year. Again, this is a money thing for me. The Vikings have decisions to make on Kirk Cousins. Obviously, Justin Jefferson is also seeking to be paid. I was listening to the Athletic Football Show today, and apparently Jefferson wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. Him and Nick Bosa actually share the same agent. Nick Bosa currently at $34 million per year. So Justin Jefferson, rightfully, in my opinion, trying to beat that number. So the Vikings have a lot of important decisions to make from a financial standpoint. Obviously, it would not make any sense for them to lose Justin Jefferson. Maybe they decide not to keep Kirk Cousins around. They could get a third round comp pick for him. But Harrison Smith, like, that just makes too much sense. You can save $11.3 million, dedicate that money elsewhere. And the Vikings are kind of trending towards a rebuild anyway. Last one, again, very, very niche to the show. You've all heard me talk about the tight end position for a couple of years now, and this is a position that the Chargers need to address. It's not just as simple as like drafting Brock Bowers, and maybe that's not even on the table. So the Chargers do definitely need like a true Y blocking tight end. I think there are three good options here with Will Dissly, CJ Uzomah, and then Tyler Conklin. Will Dissly to me is, he's been in Seattle for most of his career, but he's been one of the best run blocking tight ends in the league across the last three seasons, particularly in Seattle. This past season, he was third in the league in highest run blocking grade. Last year, he was fifth. The year before that, he was sixth. So he's a productive inline blocking tight end. That's what he does. For the Seahawks, though, Noah Fant and Colby Parkinson are both free agents. They're dealing with a new regime, so maybe they let those guys walk, get some comp picks for them. Both of them could come to the Chargers for what it's worth, especially Colby Parkinson, obviously, if you know, you know. But Will Dissly is currently paid as, I think, tight end 17 on the market. He's at $8 million per year, which he's a great blocker. That's all he is, though. So paying that guy $8 million a year just doesn't really make a ton of sense for where the Seahawks are at. So that could be a financial decision. You cut him, you bring back Noah Fant and or Will Colby Parkinson. So Will Dissly, I think, is on the chopping block. He is older, obviously, but still a very, very productive blocker. The interesting group here for the Jets is obviously their tight end room. Jeremy Ruckert is up next. They really like him. He played a lot down the stretch, and I think he's a really great up-and-coming tight end prospect. So I think one of these tight ends will get cut from the Jets. Arjun obviously worked there the past summer. He can probably speak to that. But CJ Uzomah to me is more of the type that I'm looking for. He's more of the bigger body blocking tight end. He was right behind Will Dissly in run blocking grade. You know, he is just kind of the stereotypical Y tight end. Tyler Conklin is a good blocker, but he's more of a receiving type. Actually kind of shocked me to see the numbers that Tyler Conklin put up last season with the quarterback situation. 622 yards in 2023, zero touchdowns, but he was a productive tight end. I remember streaming him a couple of times in fantasy. So he's a good receiving option. He's kind of middle of the pack in run blocking grade. You see it there. He was 50th. I think there was 83 qualified tight ends. So certainly not a super productive blocker, but it's better than what the Chargers had the last 2 years. I can say that for sure. So both of these guys, I think, could make sense for the Chargers. More so Uzomah, especially if they get Bowers, because Uzomah could be that inline tight end type. So those are the nine guys. You know, maybe I'll do a part two here down the road. But definitely wanted to highlight interior offensive line, safety specifically, and the tight end room. So let me know what you guys think. The Chargers obviously could be in a good position here with the cut candidates. We are under 1 month away from the start of the new league year, where every team is going to have to be cap compliant. Cap is potentially going up, according to Mike Florio. So maybe some decisions are easier than others. But there's going to be a lot of intriguing names, I think, on the cut market. I wanted to highlight these nine in particular. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Let me know what you guys think. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. And Tyler and I will be live tomorrow. Well, today when you guys are watching this. But yeah, we'll see you then. All right, bolt up.